Thank you for checking out the City Church podcast today. Our prayer is that this message stirs your affection for Jesus Christ. City Church exists to lead people far from God into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And today we hope that you can take one step closer in your relationship with Christ. Wherever you are listening from, we hope you enjoy today's message.
All right, it's a dud. Hey, I am excited. I want to read a passage of scripture to you guys, and it's going to be on the screen, and we're going to be sharing. Just to let you know how the night's going to go, I'm going to share a little bit. I'm going to talk about some successes this year. We are going to bring up some people to share a little bit about kind of what's been going on behind the scenes, and then we're going to share some more. Lots of sharing tonight, and I promise you we're going to get you out of here on time because we just will. Don't laugh. Please. So I want to read this. You don't have to stand up tonight, but this is out of Judges chapter 6. And the reason I felt led to go to this story is because, if anything, I so relate to a man by the name of Gideon. And so this is Gideon, and what's happened is the Midian came into Israel, and they ended up oppressing Israel and putting them into slavery and captivity. And there's the Midianites that make up, their army makes up about 120,000 men. Just to kind of wrap your mind around it, that's bigger than the city of Albany, right? And so the Midianites are oppressing Israel, the Israelites, and essentially whenever God's people get oppressed, God gets upset. And whenever God's people get oppressed, God's going to do something about it. That's why Jesus Christ came, because the people were oppressed. We were oppressed and in bondage, but Jesus Christ came to bring us from death to life, the whole mission of the church, right? And so this is what happens, and this is Judges chapter 6. It'll be up there on the screen. You can follow along if you want, starting in verse 12. "And an angel of the Lord appeared to him being Gideon, and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor,'" which essentially means, "Oh, mighty man of great favor." "And Gideon said to him, 'Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, then why has all of this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian.' And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?' And he said to him, 'Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man.'" And so here you have, and what I love about this story, and maybe it's because of my high school days, I'm one of the few people. And maybe y'all too. That sounds really bad. That's being judgmental, right? All right. We're all getting better looking as we get older, right? Can I get an amen? Jerry, come on. All right. But I'm one of the people. I look back. I was Facebook stalking someone yesterday in Orange, Texas. And someone that I went to high school with that was really popular. And he looked like Josh, all jacked and swollen stuff. And I mean, he's got like... He's like living back in the high school days, still drinking the beer and all that stuff. And I'm like, I was a dweeb back then, and I feel like I progressed. You know, God's sanctification worked on me. It's true. Thanks. Christy's like, "That's my husband." Anyways, so that wasn't even in my notes. I don't even know where that came from. God help us tonight. But what I love about Gideon, this is where I was going. What I love about Gideon is he is in the weakest tribe. So there's 12 tribes of Israel, right? And in the weakest tribe, he's a part of the weakest family. And a part of the weakest family, he is the weakest person in his family. And so I want you to, like, if we put this on a totem pole of, like, who's great and who's mighty, Gideon is down here, right? And so Gideon's this guy that's probably insecure, that probably has a lot of doubts, that everything is against him. And God says, "Hey, Gideon, I want to use you to deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites." Now, I want you to imagine, maybe you can't relate to me. Maybe you were the, you know, swole Josh guy in high school or whatever. Just throwing them under the bus tonight. And whatever it is, maybe you can't relate to that. But I know for me, I can totally relate whenever God calls me to do something audacious and I'm like, there is absolutely no possible way, God, this is going to happen. Can I get an amen to that? Has anyone ever felt that? Or maybe someone has given you a task at work and said, hey, I want you to do this. And you're like, I don't even know how to operate, Microsoft Excel or whatever. I don't even know how to type. You know, I'm typing like this and you want me to type up this big report? And so what's happening is God is speaking to this weak man. And he's saying, I'm going to use you and I'm going to raise an army through you. And you're going to end up defeating the Midianites as if it was one man. And don't be afraid. I am with you. I think that's interesting because that's what God told Moses. That's what God told Aaron. That's what God told Joshua. I'm pretty sure that's what God has told his disciples. And so if there's one thing I want to start out by saying tonight is, City Church, do not be afraid. God is with us. And whenever we look at the opposition that is against us, it looks like we are against all odds. It looks like we are against all odds. And so I think that Midianites hovering over the Israelites and Gideon having the angel of the Lord speak to him, he probably looked at his circumstances in the natural and said, I'm against all odds. I'm against all odds. Do you ever feel like that? Where your situation, you look at everything. Thank you for two people being honest, three people, four. There we go. This is church. Like, come on, let's throw those hands up in there. It's like a rave, you know? I don't know. But it's easy to look at our circumstances and what God is wanting to do in us and realize that, okay, all the odds are stacked against me. Like, this isn't even casino war where at least I have a 48% chance, right? How do I know that? I don't know. But I saw people laughing, so you've looked it up too. All right? This is like all the odds are stacked against you. And God's saying, I want you to step out and I want you to go and I want you to deliver the Israelites from the hand of the Midianites. I think a lot of times the reason God does that is because whenever all the odds are stacked against you, he gets to show up and he gets to do something miraculous where he gets all the glory. And I look at City Church. I look at what God has done. I look at the past. We're coming up on 6 years now, which is crazy to me. And how we started with $500 in the bank, no budget, six people. I wasn't even married at the time. I don't know why my wife at the time said yes and to marrying me. And now I look at it and I'm just like, God, you have been faithful. All of the odds were stacked up against us. Every person said we were going to fail. Everyone thought that we were crazy. And if you don't believe me, go talk to some of the people that were here. Like, you are nuts to be starting this church. But we heard a call from God to do something in downtown Albany, and our response was yes. And so we stepped out, and we started this church at Jillian's nightclub back in the day 6 years ago with our greeters drinking Heineken beer and Jack Daniels. I kid you not. And that's how we started. And I look back at what God has done and the lives that have been changed, the people that have been married, the community groups that have formed and everything. And it just blows my mind at the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness against all odds. He shows up. And so the reason I'm saying all this is I want to celebrate a few things that God has done just this year. And we're going to throw some stuff up on the screen for you. And hey, it's okay. It's okay to make some noise. Can you make some noise for me? Like, we want to celebrate. That scared the crap out of me. Wow. I did not approve confetti. I just want to throw that out there. All right. So make some noise, all right? Go ahead, make some noise. Let's practice this right now. Yeah, okay. All right. So this year we have seen an average attendance of 159 people at City Church, which is up 75% from the entire year of 2016. Go ahead, make some noise. Make some noise. All right. Yeah, there we go. Now, this one, if you don't make noise, I'm going to flip out on you. This year, we have seen, and we saw this Sunday with three people, but this year, we have seen 25 people say yes to Jesus Christ for the first time. Yeah, come on. Make some noise. Make some noise for that. This is something that I think I didn't realize it was this, but I was really excited about it once I heard about it from Ryan. But we have seen an average of 60 people in community groups. Like, how awesome is that? How awesome is that? And man, here's the thing. God calls us to be a part of a gospel-centered community. And so community groups is where discipleship happens. It's where life is done. And I'm just going to use the West Falls community group. And I don't even know if Mike and Evelyn are here. But one of the things I saw is the West Falls community group rallied around Mike and Evelyn's like renewal vow ceremony and stuff. And they just were like, hey, we'll take care of the photographs. We'll take care of the cooking. We'll, and it blew me away. That is gospel community. Coming together and building on top of each other. Like, praise God for that, you know? And I, man, there's stuff happening all the time. People, you know, Jen Waltersdorf's past community groups, the Sutherlands groups, and there's just so much going on. Here's something, this next number I want to throw up there, and I want you guys to make some noise for it. And the reason I want you to make some noise is, I'll explain in just a minute. Just make noise, all right? So, this year, our average or our giving from regular tithe and offering has been $120,251.94. Okay. Now, here's why I want you to make some noise for that. That has already surpassed the entire year of 2016, which is awesome. The other thing is we actually have staff members now, praise God, and we're like it, good things are happening. We're going to talk more about giving in a little bit. Here's something that I'm excited about before we throw this up. For years I've been and our team has been praying about God, who do we connect with, who do we network with, or who do we come into relationship with. And it isn't one of those things that's a spiritual covering. That's another talk for another day, but it is a relational connection with people. We want to be connected with like-minded people. That's why you hang out with some of the people you hang out with, because you all think the same, or you work out with some of the people, or whatever it may be. You want to be around like-minded people. And as a pastor, I want to be around people who are willing to do as whatever they can to reach people who are far from God without compromising the gospel. And so through prayer, through talk, and through everything, I am pleased to officially say that we have partnered with the Hillsong Leadership Network, and we are a Hillsong Network church. I'll explain that in a minute. Oh, y'all suck for that. Okay. So the way that works is they essentially are just open-handed giving us resources. And not financial resources or anything, but resources. I've already talked to their network director. Conferences laid out, you may not understand until you go into ministry. Let me just put it. And Jim Waltersdorf back there is like, hallelujah, hallelujah. Like especially in the Northeast. Down south, it's like, oh, I'm in this and now go to that, and everyone, you know, it's Lincoln Arms. Up here, it's like you're a Christian or another pastor. Get behind thee, Satan, you know, just. The other thing that I'm excited about is we are kicking off this Sunday, we are kicking off our very first internship program. And that's something else that I'm really excited about. You can make some noise for that. Y'all are dying on me here. And so I'm really excited about what God has done this year, but in order for us to go where God, I believe, is bringing us and our leadership team is bringing us, we had to do a lot of praying. We had to fight some stuff out. We had to cry some stuff out as a leadership team. I'm being very vulnerable with you, and we had to work some stuff out. And so what we did is we have hired a outside church consultant company called the Unstuck Group. This is the same group, that the same process that we went through as a church organization, they do for Chick-fil-A on a corporate level, all right? So I'm just putting things into perspective. And they came in, and they did a 360 view of everything at a church. They even showed up to a Sunday experience, and it wasn't our best Sunday experience, which was kind of cool because they got to see a lot of bad stuff, and I got like a 6-page report on just things that they noticed on Sundays. And they looked at community groups, and they looked at the environment that we're trying to create, and the culture, and the mission, and the vision, and what we're doing, and our volunteer structure, and our kids structure. And I mean, and they, it was just literally, I felt like I went to surgery. My heart was taken out, and then it ended, and my heart was still on the table. Like, that's how I felt. And then picking up from that at staff meeting, it was like, all right, let's work through. Like, they literally was like, whoosh, bah, deuces. But we've entered into a, I believe it's a 15-month process with them, starting in July. And they'll be coming back up in October. And then there are monthly coaching calls that are set up, working with myself or different team members. And then from there, they're coming back up in a year to do the entire process again. So it's really, really cool. And God has definitely blessed us with this. But through that, we were able to come up with some plans and stuff. But before I do this, before I go into that, I just want to read Judges chapter 7. So Gideon, he tests God, and God speaks, tests God, God speaks, goes back and forth, back and forth. And then this is what happens. Finally, Gideon said, all right, I'm going to go. And he rallies the troops, and he's like, we're going to go attack the Midianites. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their land, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the ear of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from the Mount Gilead. Then 22,000 people returned and 10,000 remained. So Gideon had 32,000 people going up against 120,000. And then the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And anyone of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, this one go with you, and anyone who I say to you, this one shall not go with you, shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, each one who laps the water with his tongues as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men, but the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands, and let the others go, every man to his home. So the people took provision in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men, and the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. So I want you to picture this, all right? God says, hey, I'm going to deliver you, and I'm going to use you to go to the Midianites and to set the Israelites free. And so what does Gideon do? He gets 32,000 men. His 32,000 men, which is like a 1 in 8, one man to every 8 of theirs, he's like, all right, I got my army. And then God says, no, that's not enough. Or no, that's too many. Let's cut back. No, that's too many. Let's cut back. No, that's too many. Cut back. Now, I think what's interesting, and this is the reason I'm saying this, and maybe this is a little twist to it, but every time God speaks a prophetic word over a nation, every time God speaks a prophetic word over a church, every time God speaks a prophetic word over you, every time God gives you a calling, he does not leave you by yourself to figure it out. He gives you the strategy and the tools and the people around you that he wants around you to be able to execute the vision that it is that he's given you. And so let me give you, just put it real practical for you. Gideon, you're going to go out there and you're going to deliver the Israelites from Midian. Yay, I'm really just terrified. Okay, cool. All right, here's your strategy. get rid of all your men. That's essentially what God said, right? And so for us at City Churches, God has given this audacious vision that we're about to talk about. And with that, through prayer, through talking, through strategizing, through fighting it out, and I mean a lot of prayer, a lot of crying, a lot of working, a lot of all of this, we believe that God has given us a strategy and that God used the unstuck group to, and not that we were stuck because it wasn't, we didn't realize we were stuck until after they came, I should say. But through that, God's been able to highlight some key things in this church that we are going to be focusing on to get us to the vision that it is that God's called us to do. Michael, here's the vision for City Church. Here's the strategy I'm giving you. So what I want to do is, if these people would just stand up, I just want to introduce the people who were there at this meeting, this three-day weekend. Myself, my wife, Christy, Jim and Jen Waltersdorf, Gabe and Jess Guzman, Ryan and Jen Greenhall, David and Kayla Lilly, Nathan Westfall, and Corey Cole. Sorry. Yeah, y'all stand up. Yeah, if you were at the thing, so these were the people that were at this meeting, and it was a it was a very interesting weekend. We'll say that is the thing. So at this time, though, what I'd like to do is I'm going to call Jim Waltersdorf and Gabe Guzman as the elders to come up here, and I'd also like to ask Ryan Greenhall, Nathan Westfall, and Corey Cole to come up here, and I want them to share a little bit about this weekend and kind of what happened, and I'm going to get into some specific stuff in just a minute. So you guys come on up here, not all at once, joking, all at once, taking y'all's time. Gabe's like, you're not going to like my answers. You want me to go first? Oh, I know. I'm just throwing you under the bus, man. It's like, I love you, Gabe. So, hey, yeah, y'all can, how about I step down here? Y'all give it up for these guys. Woo! And if I need to share this microphone, I will do that as well. So during the Unstuck group process, what they did is they had us break down into five areas that we're going to focus on for the next year, essentially, as a church. One of those being is the weekend experience, which encompasses worship and kids and greeting and how many experience times do we have and, you know, buildings and all that stuff. The other was policies and procedures. Policies and procedures, we need policies and procedures, right? We do have some, but we needed to clarify some of those. The other is assimilation. Assimilation is a big fancy word for moving people through a discipleship pathway. That's what that is. Communication and then a giving strategy. And so what I want to do, we can go, whoever wants to go first, whoever wants to go last, real quick, just to ask a very generic question to you guys is, what were your thoughts on the weekend? The 70 hours we spent together, or however long it was. Be honest.
I will.
Go. Do y'all want to sit down on the thing?
Can no, we? I'm fine.
Okay, cool.
What I really liked about the weekend, despite it was very long and hard, but as Mike kind of mentioned, the Unstuck group, they actually deal with a lot of really large corporations and church, like hundreds of times our size. And so I think it would be really easy for a group like that with their experience and their knowledge about how good functioning churches really operate, just to come in and kind of like strong arm you and say, this is where you're failing, this is what you need to change. But they really, as opposed to doing that, they've developed like this really great set of tools that allows you to, the church itself is like kind of the primary resource. So they come to us and we basically do these different exercises to really hone in on our focus and our vision and lay out a very kind of clear and concise plan so that we can really try and achieve our goals. And, you know, everyone, I think, is familiar with our vision, and we're just really seeking after the people in our community and want to grow our church. And they were just really laid out a real conducive kind of environment and atmosphere so that we can really understand the steps that we needed to take in order to do that. And so I just thought it was really good. At first, whenever we talked about having them come up, I thought it was not the best idea, not the best use of our money, But after the weekend, like, my mind was totally changed, and I thought it was a great weekend. And one thing that I don't think you brought up was that we were actually the first church that was blessed by having half of what it normally costs to have the Unstuck group come and like do this year-long process with you. We were actually given that half of the money, so we really had to only pay half of what it normally costs churches to do that. So that was a huge blessing for us too.
And just so you know, it was New Springs Church in South Carolina, which Clayton King is the senior pastor there, was Perry Noble's church that they gave us a scholarship. So I thought that was really awesome. Yeah. That's a church of 40,000 people. I just want to throw that out there.
The thing I took away from the weekend is, for me, I've always been a guy that when problems, I'm a flight or flight guy. And this was one of those situations where you have a bunch of people, you know, that are super passionate about what they do. Super passionate. We have different views, and actually having to sit there and wrestle through your emotions and learning to shift my perspective that these aren't challenges, but this is an opportunity, and the diversity of opinions only makes us stronger as a group. So for me, that's what I took away from the weekend, and also what it's like to work through some stuff and get back here and, you know, get excited about things. So it wasn't a bad weekend. Don't hear my heart, but it was an opportunity for me to grow as a man. So.
Well, for me, it was an interesting weekend because I think I was 30 days old. I had just gotten here, and Mike and the elders were gracious enough to have me at the meeting. But while at the meeting that weekend, I'm like, what the heck did I come into? Not because everything was bad, but just because there was a lot of opportunity to put some things in place that didn't exist. So I got the opportunity as well to understand how City Church had been built up to that weekend. So getting some understanding with the history and the many moves that have taken place and all that stuff helped out tremendously. Then I'm the person that has to, along with the team, has to help people get assimilated into this process. So. It was great to see actual tools. I've heard of it, but I had never seen it happen in front of me. So just having those actual tools that you can use to kind of sift through all the stuff that you need to in order to get to the meat of it, to the marrow of it, that's what was good for me. It was a great weekend.
Yeah, other than it being really long and watching some guy use way too much paper. Yeah. I thought it was great to just be in a room for that long with the leaders of the church and, you know, us talking about how not only are we going to change the church, but the city of Albany. And to see that many people in the room for that long was something special.
No, basically the same thing. I mean, it was a great time to be together, long. The one thing is, you'd think being there that long, you'd get a lot done. Really, it took away 10 times more of work to do after, so that's always good, too.
Amen to that. I think we killed 3 trees that week with the amount of Red paper woods. That we went through. And and so we literally, David Lilly built a wall this way, that way, and that way, and we set in a U-shaped thing, and it was just white paper everywhere. So one of the things that happened is in the 5 areas, we have... different people that have taken that and kind of spearheading some of the teams. And so what I want to do is I'm singling out 3 of the specific areas, assimilation, communication, and a giving strategy. And what I'd like to do is for you 3, real quick, just to talk about what are the biggest roadblocks that you feel we are facing that you learned through the Unstuck weekend.
I think some of the
Hold on. Oh. Nathan is over communication, the communication team, so just want to, yeah, there you go. Y'all can say yourselves now.
I think one of the biggest things to take away was doing communication in a workplace or somewhere else is a lot different than doing in a church, because not only do you have to work with communication with staff, you have volunteers, you have members, you have people outside the church, and you got to remember that people don't work here full time. So you don't want to just make communication something hard and another struggle that they have to keep looking into. So it's a way to keep us all in sync so everyone knows what's going on and everyone can easily know who to talk to, but at the same time, it shouldn't be your full-time job, you know? And I think that's kind of some of the things that we have to work through, is just fitting everyone's lifestyles but still meeting the needs to meet our vision.
Yeah. Corey's over assimilation.
So I think one of the greatest and eye-opening challenges was the fact that there was either not something in place for the things that we needed to do, or there was something in place, but it was underutilized. And that really wasn't a roadblock, but it was just a glaring point that what we already need, what we need, we already have. So we just use it in the right way, and we can actually begin to assimilate people needing to know where they need to go, what happens after I get saved, what's going on in the church, who's the point person for certain areas. Just making all those things clear and easy to find out will help people assimilate better.
And Ryan is over the giving strategy.
So the thing with giving is, this is one of the most distorted things that over the course of time people want their giving. And so things that we had to overcome is, one, how do you guys who give every week know just how far your money's going? How do you know how many lives are being changed every time you throw money into a bucket? Also, how do we get you to hear some of the cool God stories? I mean, I can tell you, me and Tim, even in the last meeting we had, two testimonies just as we started to do a couple declarations the next day, boom. But how do you guys hear that every week and come in? And so, and just also teaching, if our mission is to see people who are far from God, how do we teach them about giving, what the Bible really says, and do it in a way that's palatable, not manipulative, and really make it so people can understand what the heart of God is for giving? So it was an awesome opportunity to hear from different people outside the church and get different perspectives. So I was really appreciative of that.
So for time's sake, we're going to take the last two questions and kind of lump them in together as one, because I talked too much at the beginning, which maybe I need to take Corey's advice and sometimes shut up, but you know. All right, so what I'd like for you guys to do is y'all to share about your excitement coming out of the weekend for the future of City Church, because we haven't even talked about the 1 year or the 5 year vision, which we're about to, and then for you guys in your specific area to talk about that. And so whoever would like to go first can go first. Your excitement. One thing you're excited about.
I'll go. I'm personally excited. We're about to enter into a time in the next few weeks where we're going to have to go into a giving campaign for Rensselaer. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have any money. My finances are super tight, and I'm excited to see God come through and provide. For me, I live for testimonies. You want to get me excited? Let's talk about testimonies. You're going to be able to see the hand of God move in this, and you're going to get to be a part of it. So you're going to be a part of seeing God move through this. So I'm excited about that.
Amen.
With assimilation, I'm just excited about sustained growth as opposed to feverish swelling.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? Because normally when something swells and has a fever, that means that there's something wrong. But sustained growth is measurable. I can look back to see how it was done so that it can be duplicated in the future. So that's really what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, and with communication, I'm just excited to get everyone on the same page. I'm excited for everyone to start getting involved. And as we talk about this 1 and 5 year vision, I'm excited, you know, once we get communication down, it's the time where in a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, we can go back and see everyone that became a leader and made the difference. Because it's not everyone in this room that's going to do it. We're going to have to bring people in, keep training up leaders, and we're going to be able to see that change over the years.
Gay boy says I steal his answer, so I want him
to go first. I think I'm really excited because we have we're just about to start really having just like the means and the tools to not only handle like the next like 150 people, but the next like 5,000 people. And so we're really trying to put ourselves in a position to where we're able to like freely grow and have all of the mechanisms to like really just handle all the people that I think they're about to come. And I mean, that is super exciting because of all these lives that are about to change, but really just having the ability to do something with all of these people that are going to start coming. So
that is awesome. So the beginning of the year, I had mentioned, I really believe this would be a year to hear the Holy Spirit speak to people, that you'd hear him call you. And John, it talks about being the good shepherd. And when he calls you, you hear. And if somebody else calls you, you run away. So seeing this, the weekend and what the plan is, one of the questions I've always had is, how do you get people discipled? How do you get people set in motion and have them trained up so that they can be trained in the way that they should go, not in the way I'm going? Because everyone's walk is going to be a little bit different. People have different callings on their heart, but too often a church wants to teach rules, not relationship, even though we say it's all about relationship. And what came out of the weekend was getting really good communication was the foundation for relationship. And getting an assimilation so they know what to do. Get people engaged with their giving and with their time, not just their money, but with their talents and their treasures. Because we really believe that every person here is a treasure. And your testimony, your story, and I loved how we mentioned that with the, it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Your story sets somebody free. And if we can enable you to communicate your story to help bring people in, I just see that transforming lives. You know, I've been praying for 100,000 souls to get saved in Schenectady, Troy, and Albany. And the first question I had is, what do you do when that many people start getting saved? Where are you going to put them? Where are they going to get discipled? Who are the people that are going to care for them to take them from where they're at into a growing relationship? And to go through this the weekend and to be looking at the 1 year and the 5 year, it's like that's part of the vehicle to have that happen. And, you know, God isn't just going to start saving people if there isn't a place to put them. And as we get ready for that and as we start to passionately go after it, you know, you see people get transformed just on the street. You see people get transformed in your neighborhoods. That's what it's about. It's that real relationship, seeing hearts changed, seeing people really healed, seeing them set free from the things that held them back. And, you know, this weekend, though it was a lot of work, I started seeing that. I started seeing those things coming to pass.
So if you guys would give it up for them. Thank you. And quickly, I just want to close out this story of Gideon. So Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp, and at the beginning of the middle of the watch, when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. Then they held in their left hand the torches and in their right hand the trumpets to blow. And they cried out, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And every man stood in his place around the camp. I think it's important that in order for us to be able to move forward and to be able to accomplish what it is that God's calling us as a church community to accomplish, each man must stand firm in the camp where God has called you, where God has placed you. And I'll get to that in a second. And all the army ran, and they cried out, and they fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Beth, and I'm not even going to attempt to say that word, but there you go. So the army ran. And so what I love about that is here you have the Israelites led by the weakest man from the weakest family, from the weakest tribe, and God spoke to him. God gave him a plan. God gave him the 300 people around him. They followed God's plans, and they were obedient to what it was that God was saying, and not one person out of Gideon's army ended up losing his life, but they ended up defeating 120,000. So whenever we sit here as a church community and we say we're against all the odds, I'm here to tell you that God is for us. And if God is for us, then who or what odd can be against us as a church community? And so goals, and I'm going to move real quick. Goals. God has given the Church of Jesus Christ some goals. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He said, therefore, go out into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit, right? And then he said, I'm going to be with you surely to the end of the age. The goal that God said is to go to all the nations, baptizing people. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to receive power to be my witnesses. You're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. The goal is to be the witness of Jesus Christ, to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. Well, the good news is we've had our forefathers that have gone before us, and now we are the ends of the earth. And so our assignment is to be a witness for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's a goal that God laid out. 2 Corinthians 5, God says, I want you, through the fingertips of Paul, he says, I want you to be an ambassador of reconciliation. What does that mean? That means that the goal is for us to be ambassadors of reconciliation, right? And so these are goals that God sets out all throughout the Scripture. And there's two things that keep us from reaching these goals. Is one, it's our limitations. And anyone who, my goal is to be as buff and as swole as Josh over here, right? He's like, I'm promoting you, man. I'm promoting you. Go talk to him later. Boot camp is tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., City Church style. Woo! Right? So he'll talk to you about it later. But here's what I'm saying. Like, that's my goal. But if I sit in my bed and I sleep in every day and I do absolutely nothing, guess what? I'm always going to miss my goal. So if God gives us goals as a church, but we do not put the right systems, the right people, and the right tools in place to be able to reach our goals, then how are we ever going to be able to reach the goals that God's given the church? Can I get an amen to this? See, the goal for the church is not for Sunday to be the end-all, be-all. The goal for the church is that Sunday is the beginning of your relationship with the God-centered, Christ-centered community, and that you grow, and that one day you end up reaching maturity in faith, and that you get people around you, and you start pouring into them, and that they start pouring into other people. This is called gospel-centered community, where we are taking what it is that God has given us through the Word of God, the Scripture of God, and we are pouring it out to other people. So number one is limitations. And I just want to say, a lot of time whenever we limit ourselves, that thing that we limit ourselves is the very thing that God wants to use to get victory in our life. Just throwing it out there. Number two is intimidation. We say to ourselves, we're not good enough. I've sinned too much. I had a horrible weekend. Like, man, look at Peter. He denied Christ three times. He was a busted up guy. He was fearful. But you know what it says in Acts chapter 4? It said Peter and James, that people could tell that they had been with Jesus. They were unschooled, ordinary men, but people could tell that they had been with Jesus. Imagine if people looked at City Church and they said, well, they don't have a seminary background. They don't have a lot of education. Some of you guys do. God bless you all. But they have been with Jesus, and they are being witnesses to Jesus Christ. Just imagine what could happen. Just imagine. And so here's where we're going. 1 year. You guys ready? All right, and this is going to be very practical. Here's some very practical goals. I'm going to wrap this sucker up real quick. I'm getting my scripture ready. Here we go. I got my sword out. All right. By this time next year, our goal... And I think we can shoot this out of the park. I'm just saying, especially after this past Sunday. But our goal is to see an average attendance of 300 people. How are we going to do this? So I'm going to go through this real quick. How are we going to do this? We're going to make space in here, right? We want to be a good steward. The good thing about going over to the Armory is that it got a lot of what we need for Rensselaer. So if that means going to 3 worship experiences, we're going to do it. If it means going to 4 worship experiences, we're going to do it. I can attest and tell you, though, that we're not going to go to a worship experience prematurely. We're going to pack these suckers out, and we're going to let God do something, and we're just going to keep going. Number two is we're going to launch the Rensselaer campus. That is happening. We've been talking about this. It is in the works of happening. I'm excited about it. And as Ryan said, we're going to be launching soon a giving campaign specifically towards Rensselaer and what it's going to take to get things going. Number three, we are in the process of moving City Kids to a full worship experience to open up chairs at the 10 a.m. and the 12 p.m. Because if you're at the 10 a.m., there was no chairs this past Sunday. The 12 a.m., the 12 p.m., we have a little bit of room. So we want to create an environment that our kids love to go to, where they're going to have worship in their own. They rejoice, they dance, they bang their little tambourines, whatever it is, but that their lives are being transformed in a way that's relevant to them, and our lives are being transformed because it's about the family, just saying. The other thing, I'm going to ask you guys, this is how we could do this even now. If you can go to the 12 p.m., would you go to the 12 p.m.? Could you do that if you can? If you can't, it's okay. Number two, community groups. At this time next year, we saw 60 people in community groups. We'd like to see that number up to 140 people in community groups by September of 2018. That's 140 people being discipled. So here's what we need. We need a minimum of 12 community groups to be able to do that, which means we're going to need to disciple more people. We're going to need to pour into more leaders, and we're going to create avenues and on-ramps for that to happen. One of the community groups, and as soon as we dismiss, which will be in about 7 minutes, is right over here. They're going to open this thing up, and the City Church Fall 2017 Community Group. We have 8 community groups this semester, which is awesome. That's absolutely awesome. You can take this, and you can go sign up over there. You can get involved. One of them that I'm extremely excited about, and I'm going to shameless plug, is we have a group specifically focused on gospel reconciliation with race. Gospel racial reconciliation. Not social racial reconciliation, but looking at racial reconciliation and how all men and women are created equal in the image of God through the lens of Jesus Christ. And so I know that this is something that we have been hitting on as a church, being more diverse, being more ethnically diverse. And so Corey Cole is going to be leading that. And I'm kudos to you. Just saying. Number three, worship. Man, our worship is going to, we're going to continue to develop teams and continue to pour into people. One of the things I'm excited about is November 17th, we're having our next night of worship. But at that night of worship, we're going to be doing a live worship recording and doing a little mini EP of 4, 5, 6 songs that we can just give out to people as they come into City Church. And just, I love what Jess says. She feels like it's going to be like Paul's handkerchief. They took Paul's handkerchief and they just started going everywhere and people started getting saved and healed and like, all right, let's take this, that God's blessed. And I just want to throw this out there. We have a really good worship team. Give it up for them. Look, I've been to churches 10 times our size, and their worship team is not near as good as ours. Now, we have our issues. That's just leaving it at that, but we're working. Number four is serving for the next year. We're doing Servolution September 23rd. You want to get involved with Servolution, you can sign up tonight. Another thing that you have an opportunity to enter into the conversation is Q Commons. We are one of the main partners for Q Commons. We can serve at that. If you want to serve, if you would see Shannon Howard. Shannon, if you'll stand up real quick. If you'll see Shannon Howard for serving at Q Commons, and Q Commons is an opportunity for us to enter into the conversations of what's happening in America and taking the social approach, but the gospel approach, and drawing a bridge with that. And so that's happening Thursday the 26th. The other one that I'm super excited about is December 17th, the Sunday before Christmas. Well, we're canceling church. And we're going to go serve our community, and we're going to give away thousands of dollars to just random people. If you've never been here for the Sunday before Christmas, you don't want to miss it. It's awesome. The other thing is we are constantly looking for more opportunities to serve, and we have people that just yesterday contacted us saying, hey, I want to organize this for the church. So we want to be out in the community more. So that's the other thing. Number five is City Kids. Jim's doing a great job, but the City Kids team is going to be going to both Rensselaer and Albany, but their goal is to see 60 kids come in over the next year. That's 60 kids, more kids learning about Jesus Christ, hearing about the gospel, hearing that there's a God that loves them. And so the last thing I'm going to say with the one-year vision is to do all this, there's some transitional changes. Because as Gabe said and as Jim said, we're setting ourselves up for where we're going 5 years from now. And so organizationally, we're setting ourselves up for where we're going 5 years from now. And so many of you guys know this, but real quick, Ryan and Jen will be moving out by the end of this year of the community group directors, and they're going to be moving over to Rensselaer, if y'all would stand up, as the campus pastors over there for Rensselaer. Give it up for them. Now, this guy is very timid. Where is he? Hey, David, come up here. Come on, run up here. He's like, come on, run. Yeah, y'all give it up for David Lilly. Man bun. All right, so David is going to be moving into the role of the Albany campus pastor. So y'all give it up for him. And so, all right, cool. You can go sit down now. He's going to call me at 10:30. He's going to be like, I hate you. I'll probably call him. So with that, the other thing that we're doing is for Albany, for community groups, for the Albany campus, starting now, Nathan Westfall is going to be moving in as the Albany community group coordinator. So Nathan, I don't know where you are, but y'all know Nathan. And then Tim, starting now, is going to be moving in as the Rensselaer community group coordinator. Tim, if you would, stand up. Sit. Whoa! Y'all make some noise. And the reason we're doing this is, and man, you should see the behind-the-scenes stuff, is we are doing everything that we can to set ourselves. What time is it? It's 8 o'clock. All right, here we go. We're not going to close out with a worship song, but you can keep playing. It sounds really spiritual. So here's where we're going for 5 years. I've lost my paper. All right, we're just going to roll with it. Here's where we're going for 5 years. And this is audacious. But I really believe that God wants to transform not just Albany, not just Rensselaer, but wants to continue to transform the entire capital region. And the reason, man, the reason why we do this, the reason why City Church exists, is to see people who are far from God come into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Just this morning, I sat down with a man who has seen God move mightily in the life of City Church. And essentially with tears in his eyes, he's like, it blows my life what God is doing. A few weeks ago, I sat down with another church planner. He said, every time I'm discouraged, I go to YouTube and I watch the City Church Salt and Light story of all the hell that you guys went through and where you guys are now and what God has done. And so I'm saying all this to say, what we're doing matters. The reason we're doing all this is it matters. And so where we would like to see, and I'm going to go real quick with this, in 5 years, this is our focus, is as a church, we would like to reach an average attendance of 3,300 adults. For City Kids. Yeah, make some noise. Go ahead. And I just want to say, look at the opportunity. 2.7% of the population of Albany is a Christian. That's less than 3,000 people. So fertile soil, and that means that's going to be a lot of people coming to Christ. So we got some work to do. With City Kids, we want to see City Kids consistently having 1,200 kids going to City Kids. Yeah, I'm pumped up about that. The third thing, students, junior high school, and young adult college, we want to see 500 people involved in the student ministry here at City Church. Yeah, get excited. Stephen's like, uh-oh, I got some work to do. The other thing is campus. So we said we're going to launch, or we did Albany, we're launching Rensselaer, but very soon. The other thing is we are going to launch at least one more campus within the next 5 years, because there isn't a building that can hold this in Albany. There isn't a building that can hold this in Rensselaer. And our goal is to go to where the people are. So we're going to continue to launch campuses. So we're going to need more campus pastors and more worship coordinators and more host team coordinators and so forth. The other thing is we want to see 2,000 people in community groups in 5 years. Yeah, go ahead. That's 165 minimum groups. Nathan and Tim, you have a lot of work to do. We want to see 1,700 people serving the communities that they live in one time a month. And this is something I'm excited about. Our goal is to see 1,500 baptisms over the next 5 years. 1,500 baptisms. And then for missions, over the next 5 years, our goal is to give $1.2 million away to foreign and local missions as well as church planting. Because we do not want to be a church that holds it, but we want to be a church that gives it out. And so I'm going to close out with this, right? Goals, goals, goals. These are all goals, but these goals are not going to happen if you do not do your part. These goals are not going to happen if I do not do my part. These goals are not going to happen if we sit on a sideline. I did not start City Church. We did not start City Church. God did not birth City Church for a bunch of people to be consumers sitting on the sideline getting their head tickled. God said, hey, I want you to go into this area. And so we're like, all right, let's go in this area. And so my call to us, the call to action tonight, because it's a family meeting, is let's move from being on the sidelines and let's step onto the playing field, because there is a game that we have before us. And the good news is God is the coach. God's the quarterback. God's already won it. We just need to get in our little football gear and our little and play some foosball and tackle the crap out of Satan and beat him up. And so that's one of those things. Like, and listen, I don't say this lightly, but as a Christian, we are called to judge one another based upon the fruit in our lives. Are you, as a Christian, leading people who are far from God into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ?
This concludes today's message. We hope that you are encouraged and strengthened in your faith. For more messages from this series or other series, please visit us online at citychurchalbany.com. If you have been impacted by the message or ministry of City Church, please send us an email at info@citychurchalbany.com. We would love to hear your story. If you would like to partner with us financially, please visit us at citychurchalbany.com/giving. We hope that you have a blessed week.